the first edition this session of Bruin Buzz is coming up. Capital Call brought to you by Phillips 66. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. I tell you, it is great to be here. It's been about 8 months since we've done this on a regular basis.
I can hear the sound of Gene Autry back in the saddle again somewhere along the line.
The saddle.
Oh, Chairman Sears is singing. It's an ugly sight. But, Charlie, it's going to be an exciting year. My prediction is at the end of this year, there is going to be absolutely no one involved in government that likes anyone else involved in government. We're all going to be mad at each other over either policies, bills that we're carrying, lack of money, who gets what. So it's going to be a challenging year. But I truly do believe that common sense will prevail. And when we get to the Capitol and kind of get behind where we're not doing so much political stuff and we're really talking about the policies that are important to Oklahoma and truly the elected officials, they want to do what's best for Oklahoma. They want to do best what's best for the kids, for our roads and bridges, for our corrections. And we're going to have some really good in-depth policy decisions. Chairman Sears on the House with appropriation and Senator Jolly on the Senate, our chairman of appropriations. You know, as a state, we have limited resources and unlimited demands on those resources. And what legislators do is just set priorities. And I am so pleased with the two and their adult, the way they approach things. And I think we're going to make the best deal that we can for Oklahoma. And most people won't be happy, but when you look at oil that's gone from over $114 down last week to under $30, that has an impact not only on the severance tax, but those that have lost their jobs in the oil industry. We lose that income tax. We lose the sales tax on items that they would have bought if they had a job. So there are a lot of ripples, and it is a devastating, it's a terrible situation. But like we've done this in the past, it's not our first rodeo. We're going to get through it, and we're going to make the best decisions that we can. And by golly, I think some of those that 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to be much better off than we would have otherwise.
Okay. Well, I know Governor Fallon, when she is in town, and actually when she makes her State of the State address to you guys on Monday, I don't see how she can help but focus on at least money as part of what she will have to say.
Absolutely. And it's always an interesting time to see what the governor brings up and the policies that the governor is trying to promote. And many of those they've worked with legislators over the period of time. But also it's interesting sometimes kind of some new things that we'd never thought of comes out.
Yeah. Chairman Sears is here, and I know he will talk about the budget. There was an article in the local paper earlier this week that Representative Dunlap had filed a couple of bills. He is not here, at least yet, to...
Well, he was at Rotary this morning. He had to leave a little early. And I don't know if he was talking to some students at high school. This time of year, it really gets quite hectic, and we just got to speak in passing. But I know he's in town, but I think he may be with some students.
Your education committee, I'm sure, will be busy, and I don't know what bills you in total have filed, but I know you are active in a lot of ways.
It will be active, and we can talk, especially as we get into
these. 1,700 some bills left over, plus 1,700 new ones.
Yes, 1,700 new ones, which is down a little bit, but a lot of those are duplication. You know, at the end of the year, we will send to the governor, and she will sign about 300 to 350 bills. So it gets whittled down a lot. One thing quickly on education, I don't know if people may have read, but yesterday the State Board of Education approved, and so did the Regents for Higher Education, approved the new standards. This goes back a couple of years ago, House Bill 3399. It eliminated Common Core, and it directed the State Board and the Regents and subject matter experts to develop a set of standards for math and English language arts that were specific for Oklahoma, high quality, college and career ready. And we've had a phenomenal process with lots of input, lots of really good Oklahoma teachers, educators, experts involved in that. So it was approved by the Board of Education, the State Board of Education, and the Regents yesterday. Now it comes to the legislature, and we either approve them, we disapprove them, or we can send them back with suggestions or recommendations to the board or the State Department of Education. I know the speaker put out a note to his members day before yesterday. I put out a note to all senators yesterday. We are having the House and the Senate a joint presentation by the State Department on the new standards on Monday at 9:30. I think we just need to make sure that all of our members have a good opportunity to understand the process on how the standards were developed, to make sure that they were developed in line with the direction that was in this House bill from 2 years ago. And hopefully earlier rather than later this session, we will approve those, because those will be the standards that starting next year the teachers need to use to teach for. We also need to look at what are we going to do for assessments. So a lot of things have to occur. But the most important thing right now is to make sure that we give adequate time and adequate explanation to the House and the Senate members so that when they vote to approve or whatever, and I do hope they approve them, that they are comfortable with that vote and they truly realize those are going to be very high quality, appropriate standards for the teachers and the students of Oklahoma.
Okay, more on the subject as it evolves. Thank you very much.
That's right. How about Chairman Sears?
I think that's a good idea. Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, good morning, Charlie. Thank you. And as the Senator said, we are delighted to be back. The journey begins on Monday. We always are appreciative that we do our first radio show just before we leave to kind of give the lay of the land. And as you well know, every Friday when we come home, we'll give our community updates. A couple of quick things. Senator Ford, at the end of this term, will have served 12 distinguished years for the people of Senate District 29, and we'll talk more about that as the session winds down.
Can't believe it's 12 years since I had him in here when he said he decided to run.
But I'll brag on him on another day.
Well, now, to our audience, I am what they call a lame duck when you're term limited. If you ever want a challenge, try to explain to 9-year-old grandchildren that their grandfather is a lame duck. That's an interesting discussion.
Well, my granddaughter turned 7 weeks old today, so
I've got a little bit of time. That's great. So I am starting my 10th year, and I've announced this in the paper, but I want my community to know. I've also announced, I've always taken a determinate time, but I've already made a decision early that I'm going to run again, be my last term. But I'm going to be running for the Speaker of the House.
We get to possibly call you Mr. Speaker.
Well, and people have asked me how can I vote for you and so on. Really, nobody can do anything. It's your Speaker is elected from your members. And I'm talking to members about throwing their support to me and letting me be the team captain or the head coach of moving the House of Representatives forward. And Charlie, right now it's our principal. There you go. It's looking good, but that election won't be till the end of May, not the end of May, 1st of May. And so I still have a marathon, but I will keep people informed. But if it is something that I gave a lot of thought and prayer over, and if the good people of District 11 return me to this position, I also want to run for this office. And if I get that office, not only will I continue to represent District 11 and the Barnesville surrounding area, but be the voice for all of Oklahoma. So anyway, we'll talk more about that. But now then, the senator, I've had a lot of, every year there's challenges at the state capitol, but this year the challenge is absolutely the state budget. I'm frustrated and I'm concerned, and we will get through it, and I am going to put a positive spin on it. And the senator was quite accurate in regards to there will be people frustrated, but I want the people of District 11 and Senate District 29 and House District 10, representing Dunlap's district, since we represent you in this part of the state, I want to lay this out for you. Put this in perspective. The previous budget, the budget we are now working under, we built that budget on $57.55 barrel oil. Okay? No one had a clue that the oil market and the energy sector in the nation, and again, it's not only Oklahoma, it's a national worldwide. There's a glut. I mean, we all know that. We understand it's affected the world markets, the stock markets, et cetera, et cetera. If you own an energy stock, you can understand that baby's it's not doing well today. But we also know...
I'll leave the people that have more to do with stocks about to say whether it's a good time to buy.
The point I'm making is that has had a significant impact on our budget and we being an energy state. Now, what's interesting, the oil generating, that the funds we generate from oil, it really just is about 6-7% of our budget. But what drives our budget is five revenue streams, and one of those revenue streams is the income tax. Well, there is another hit to the budget. So many people have been laid off in the energy sector. That has created a huge hole in regards to our income tax. Then in December, sales, the worst month we've had in umpteen years. Christmas, Black Friday, et cetera, where you think you're going to go. But it didn't happen in Oklahoma because people with the energy sector, they held their money. So it's had a significant impact on the budget. The good news is we all know that we've been through this before and we will come out of this. But meanwhile, there's two other things that we have done, all on good purposes, good reason, good sound policy, but quite frankly, they've been too generous. And that is the tax credits. There's three of them. Not three of them. There's three components. Tax credits and exemptions, which total about $1.7 billion, and apportionments off the top, which generates about $3 billion that comes right off the top. All of those are great programs. And then another one is the sales tax exemptions that we have been very generous with. There's 150 of them, and this is going to shock a lot of people. That's $7.2 billion, not million, Charlie, billion dollars that is not coming into the state coffers.
The governor addressed that particular issue yesterday in a conference.
So just very quickly do the math. 7 and 3 is 10 plus 1. Is 11 plus, as I said, 1.7 and 7.2. It's almost $12 billion that goes right off the top that we could be utilizing in state government. And quite frankly, with the whammy we've had in energy and the layoffs, and then with these monies go off the top, it literally is just simple mathematics. We don't have enough to run state government. Now, to say what the senator made the comment, we're going to frustrate some people. We can right this ship. We have a great opportunity. This is, and I want to say that again, it's a great opportunity for us to go in and make some corrections. Even though we were generous, and every one of those are great programs, county government, state transportation, education, but Charlie, we have to address those monies off the top, or this problem just continues to, it just keeps coming back. Okay.
You were budget chairman during another similar event a couple, what was it, about 5-6 years ago now. How does that compare?
My first budget chairman, we had a $500 million hole, and we cut budgets. We had some pools of money that we tapped into, plus we made some reductions in some programs. But what we have never done is roll back the tax credits, or I'll use the term reform the tax credits, nor have we ever stopped or slowed down. Give me your term. You gave it to me yesterday.
Share the burden.
The money's off the top. I've been saying share the pain, but the senator, I love his terminology. The money's off the top has never shared the burden in this budget, and we have just cut and cut and cut, and that includes education, health care, and prisons, and so on and so forth. So there, my friend, is the journey, and that's what I'm going to spend my time about on every Friday, is just giving everybody an update on where we are, because you're going to hear some things in regards to, well, don't cut that, cut this, and so on. We always have that. But this year, we can't just continue to take the money out of the state government. There is no question that state public education may receive a little bit of cut this year. I guarantee, my goal this year is, to keep them flat and have them the smallest cut as we possibly can. But there's a lot of moving targets to this thing, Charlie, and it's easier said than done. It takes more than Senator Ford and I's vote to do this. There'll be all kinds of plans on the table. We'll have to run all the traps on each one of them. But at the end of the day, and we'll talk about this in May, and I'll remind you of this, we will have a balanced budget. We will get through this. Oklahoma will continue to move forward. And I want to make a promise to my constituents as your state representative. I am not going to be part of crashing state government. I'm just not going to. We need to balance it. We need to, we have quality programs that we've got to keep running. We also have to be fair in regards to these apportionments off the top. And again, there is no one more supportive than the three of us in regards to public education and wanting to give our teachers a raise. But I want you to also know we have corrections, we have health care authority. Every one of these programs have the same issues in regards to their funding. And it's going to be a balancing act, but we will get it done. But we just need to know, we need to say to you today, be patient. By all means, send us your thoughts and your ideas, but we've got to correct some of these apportionments off the top. The income, the tax credits and the exemptions, and take and look at some of these sales tax exemptions. It's absolutely a must, or the problem just keeps going on.
Well, looking forward to your first week. Thank
right.
you very
and
much.
We're Ellen. Gonna it's gonna be great. Don't hesitate to contact us. You know our information. It's easily on the website. Contact us, communicate with us, but meanwhile, we'll keep you well informed. Okay. Senator, close it up.
Yeah, and I want to just remind all the listeners, and I do this every year, there are going to be a lot of bills, a lot of publicity, a lot of press releases. So if you see a bill right now that you really, really like, don't get too excited. And if you see a bill that you think is going to totally change the way you live, don't get too disappointed, because in all probability, those bills are going to change. As Charlie said, we've got several hundred left over from last year. There were 1,600 or 1,700 new bills introduced. We're only going to sign about the governor signed 300 or 350. Be involved. Pay attention. Let us know what your thoughts are, but don't get too concerned early on.
Thank you very much.
And other than that, Phillips 66, thank you so much for sponsoring this. Charlie, you, and everybody here at the radio station, we appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now we want to find the Phillips 66 of others.